morning. Assume everybody's had their coffee, tea, or bathroom break, and we're ready to begin the Finance Committee meeting for today, May 11th, 2017. So if all members have had a chance to review the agenda, which is a very short one today in terms of items, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the agenda. Second? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And the second administrative matter is just the approval of our minutes from the last meeting on March 23rd, 2017. Those are attached to your package, and if everyone has seen that, please, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes. Second?
Aye.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Good morning again. Now that we have committee's administrative business completed, I'd like to review the items that the committee has before it this morning. Today's presentation will provide an update on Metro's financial performance through the third quarter of fiscal year 2017. So that would be the quarter ending March 31st, 2017. The presentation will also outline steps Metro is taking to mitigate this year's revenue challenges and to align its expenses and revenues so that the fiscal year 2017 will end without a need for increased subsidy from the jurisdiction. No board action on the FY 2017 operating budget is called for at this time. Then the committee will be asked to increase the size of the FY 2017 capital budget by $75 million to support the Safe Tracks program, the accelerated delivery of the 7,000 series rail cars, construction of the new bus maintenance facilities, and the purchase of additional rail car parts. This increase in the 2017 capital budget to $1.175 billion will require the committee's approval today and then the full board approval in 2 weeks. So before I ask Mr. Nasecki and Mr. Webster to lead us through the presentation and begin the subsequent discussion, I want to announce that the Finance Committee's June meeting, the General Manager will make a presentation and answer questions on his financial action plan to keep Metro safe, reliable, and affordable. That was announced April 19th this year and that you're all fairly familiar with at this time. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Mr. Nasecki and Mr. Webster. First, we'll deal with, in phase one, the report on the operating budget. We'll do Q&A. Resolve any questions outstanding on that matter, and then we'll move on to the capital budget and the matter that requires a board action this morning. Gentlemen.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today, we have two goals. The first goal is to update the Committee on Metro's financial performance through March of 2017. Then staff will request, as the Chairman has just indicated, committee approval to amend the capital budget to provide additional resources in support of ongoing capital projects. In terms of background, Mr. Chairman, Metro's financial position continues to improve compared to December of 2016. Through aggressive management actions, Metro has been able to offset most of the year-to-date revenue losses that this agency has faced so far. As a result, Metro's updated year-end financial forecast is better by $37 million today. 57 if you add the $20 million that Mr. Walster would describe later, which is a transfer to the capital budget. That said, aggressive control, cost control is still required for the remaining 3 months to help balance the FY17 budget. But as I previously reported, WMATA has drawn down $1.5 billion since March of FY14 in terms of prior federal grants. Just as a reminder, these drawdowns are based on a rigorous process that involves detailed review of those projects, the costs and the expenses, reviewed by WMATA, as well as by FTA's external auditors, Hill International and Milligan and Company, prior to reimbursement by FTA. As of today, there's approximately $220 million left, down significantly when we started this journey, all of which staff is currently working with FTA to get fully reimbursed. And we will keep the board fully advised as we go forward. Finally, with the board's approval of the FY18 capital budget last March, Metro's grant applications were submitted to FTA ahead of schedule. And as of today, we've already received one grant application, and we expect to get the remaining applications prior to the start of the fiscal year. With respect to the third quarter financial results, passenger revenues is down by $60 million year over year, or $87 million compared to budget, which you will see on the next slide. But to offset this revenue variance, as I said earlier, management has implemented a number of actions to tightly control operating costs, including changes to non-rep healthcare, reductions in positions, and targeted freeze on recruitment, as well as procurement. Those actions, along with favorable energy rates and utilization, have kept expenses under budget by $76 million for the year. Altogether, the expense reductions have offset most of the revenue loss so far this year, leading to a current deficit of $11 million and a year-end projected deficit of $18 million, assuming the transfer of $20 million to the capital budget. So when you look at this table, what you see is a summary of the year-end operating results, which shows that the $11 million unfavorable net position as of March 31st. This result reflects aggregate operating expenses of $575 million, operating revenues of $575 million, which is off by 13%, and aggregate operating expenses of $1.232 billion, which is actually favorable to budget by 6%. As a result, Metro's cost recovery for the year is 4 percentage points off target of 51%. In terms of the year-end financial outlook, revenue continues to trend towards a $125 million shortfall for the year. However, staff is currently forecasting a lower deficit based on the management actions that I described a little bit earlier, which collectively have reduced cost. And when you look at the bottom of this slide, respect to net subsidy, you will recall that staff discussed the potential use of prior budget surpluses a couple of months ago in order not to go back to the jurisdictions in request of additional contributions. And finally, slide 7 recaps the key actions that Metro has been taking or will be taking to help balance the budget. Overall, these actions, we believe, will get us to where we need to be. While Metro continues to face risks with respect to the budget through the remaining months, we believe that we are well positioned to end the year, as we indicated to the board the last time we appeared before you. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will pause at this point and respond to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Anasaki. That's certainly a big change that's been achieved over the last few months. Let me start off with a question, and other members, I'm sure, will have questions. On your slide 6, the one that says operating budget forecast, where you show that you're projecting will be off by $125 million for the full year, but you've made that up by cost cuts that total $108 million. Could you just sort of break down how, that's a very large number, $108 million. Could you sort of break down how that savings of $108 million was achieved, how much of that reflects job positions that have been kept vacant over the period, how much it reflects other savings in terms of lower fuel prices than originally anticipated, go through those kind of categories?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As you can see on this slide, in the aggregate, personnel reductions will provide about $71 million of those. It's of the $108 million that you referenced a few minutes ago. Of that, the positions, approximately 700 positions, of which about 650 has already been wiped out, and so those are reflected here. The remaining positions, which will be eliminated based on the process of notifications to the unions, will be accomplished before the end of the fiscal year. That piece itself, the entire personnel piece, reflects or rather provided most of those savings. In the aggregate, about $50 million of that is coming from the positions. As along with the positions, obviously there is the healthcare component, which we discussed, which will be about $3.5 million a year for 6 months. That's half of that. And as well as there's the suspension of workers' compensation contributions, which again we discussed with the board in prior months. I can further delineate those if you want that. With respect to materials and supplies, our services rather, we anticipate about $11 million off of that. Materials and supplies, for the most part, is coming from the delayed procurement of activities. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we have, based on the GM's direction, imposed a freeze on all non-essential purchases or non-critical purchases for the remainder of the fiscal year. And so the process that we've implemented, which reviews every procurement, which reviews every recruitment, has resulted in most of the savings and will continue to do so for the remainder of the year. With respect to fuel, two things are going on here. One is that the rates, as you recall, we locked down a significant portion of our fuel use for the year. And based on that lock, we've been able to generate some savings. In addition, obviously, the level of service on the tracks have been less than we originally budgeted. But the corresponding impact is part of what you see on the revenue side. Obviously, we're not getting those revenues. And so that's part of the savings that you see on the fuel side. The capital cost projection of $7 million reflects, in this particular case, the increased performance on the capital programs themselves. As you know, there's overhead charges that are applied to the capital projects, and to the extent that we've exceeded, which is part of what Tom will be talking about, that we exceeded our original targets, that actually benefits the operating budget because now the overhead is shared among a larger base. I can continue, but I believe that's what your questions go to.
Yeah, I guess my follow-up here is that what you're showing in this column with the savings of $108 million is a forecast of where you expect to be.
That's correct.
June 30th.
That's correct.
So I guess the follow-up question is, what level of confidence do you have that you're going to end up there such that the increased deficit or the potential subsidy need would only be the $18 million shown?
We are very confident that our Metro's financial results will be in the range that we're discussing with the board.
Right. So at the end of the day, at some point, there's a need for the board to take some action, I assume, to approve the transfer of this prior year surplus to credit the operating budget forecast for FY17. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the reason why we are waiting to make that request is to see how much we can address the remaining outlook prior to coming to the board. So we expect to come to the board if we need to, but to the extent that the ongoing management actions will reduce that even further, then we will be in a better position to come to you at that time.
And that time would probably be either July or September, if we don't meet in August.
Most likely September.
September?
Most likely. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Bolger?
Thank you, Dennis. Could you explain, I know we talked about this on our conference call for the committee meeting, but I think for the rest of the members of the committee, how we're doing on the $221 million FDA drawdowns, which has been, goes all the way back to 2014.
That's correct.
And what are the challenges that we're dealing with FTA, if any, and how has FTA been handling and our drawdown process?
We
just so everybody should know, these are mostly formula grants, I believe.
That's okay, correct. We, as I indicated earlier, we have been working with FTA to recover these outstanding grants. As I indicated earlier, the process is excruciating. But FTA has been a partner in this process. They have an obligation to fully review our submissions prior to approval, and they are doing so. We have, working with them, submitted a revised grant that shifts some of these funds from the original allocations. They have reviewed that and have submitted that to the Department of Labor. The way the process works is that DOL will review that and at some point approve or disapprove. We expect approvals in the next.
This is a labor protection requirement.
That's correct. And in the past, there's been some challenges associated with these grants, which we're prepared to respond to. But to the extent that these are approved, then FTA will formally award the grants, and at that point we can then proceed with drawing.
Is all of the $221 million subject to the Department of Labor 13C?
Ultimately, there will be, but at this point, I believe the super grants that we're talking about in this case is about $162 million. So if you recall, our plan, which we share with this board, is that of the entire remaining balance, that we expected to get about $150 million of that by June, and the remainder by December of 2017. So we're slightly ahead of our schedule, but we are, again, until it's approved, you know, we will not be getting those funds.
And this goes through Philadelphia, right?
The regional office is out of Philadelphia, but I mean, we deal primarily with the Washington office.
Thank you. Questions, other questions, members of the committee?
Thank you.
You seem to be scot-free almost. Okay, so we'll turn now to the FY17 capital budget issue and some action required by the board here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee will recall that Metro began FY17 with a $950 million capital budget. The budget was intentionally set at that.
I think we have to just adjust the slides to get to where you're talking from.
So it was intentionally set at that level, following several years of Metro falling short of capital budget goals. But it was understood at that time that if project delivery improved, mid-year budget amendments might be necessary to fund accelerated projects. The rate of capital investment began to improve in the latter part of FY16. With increased delivery of the new 7,000 series rail cars and the beginning of the SafeTrack program. So Metro invested over $1 billion in FY16, which was the most in 1 year in Metro's history, and about 85% of the 16 budget. The rate of capital delivery has continued to improve over the first half of FY17. Back in November, the board approved an additional $150 million in capital budget authority to fund additional rail cars that were coming in ahead of schedule or ahead of the schedule assumed in the budget, SafeTrack, and that amendment increased the budget to $1.1 billion. At that time, we were forecasting total year-end capital investment of a range of about $1.1 to $1.2 billion and informed the committee that we may be back in the spring with an additional amendment. So that's where we are today. So the positive progress in the capital program delivery continued in the second and the third quarters. Metro delivered $874 million through CIP investment through the third quarter, including $370 million in the rail car investment category and over $117 million in track and structures rehabilitation. Currently forecasting investment of just under $300 million in the fourth quarter and a year-end total that's approaching $1.2 billion. The next few slides provide summaries of the investment by category and program. So I'll touch on each of these briefly. 168 new 7,000 series rail cars had been accepted during FY17 through the third quarter, and 316 since the beginning of the 7,000 series program. 20 new rail cars per month have been coming in consistently each month during this fiscal year, and we expect that rate will continue for the last three, or April, May, and June. It actually did occur in April, and we expect the same in May and June. As the new 7,000 series cars are coming in, Metro is retiring 1,000 and 4,000 series rail cars with the current concurrence of NTSB and FTA. And as of the end of March, just 138 of those cars remained. The year-end forecast for rail car overhaul and maintenance now assumes that the parts that are used in the overhaul of components of the rail cars, that these are capital parts, will be charged to the capital budget rather than to the operating budget. You'll recall initially, because of non-compliance with some of the federal procurement requirements, we're not able to charge the parts to FTA grants. And in the original $950 million capital budget, there was not enough capacity to charge those parts to local fund sources or non-federal fund sources. With the amendments earlier this year and the amendment we're recommending today, we will be able to move those rail car parts to the capital program and fund them with non-federal sources. In the rail systems category, after some initial delays relative to our original schedule, due to some procurement and procurement process delays, both the power upgrade program, the propulsion program, and the radio and wireless programs are now in implementation and proceeding. So the budget has been adjusted through the amendment and through some reprogramming actions to match what we're forecasting for the year. But both of those projects are now ramped up and will be delivering in the remainder of FY17 and into FY18. In the track and structures program, Metro invested $118 million in both the Safe Track program and in related state of safety and state of good repair programs for track and track-related infrastructure. The year-end forecast for the fixed rail program is now just under $150 million and includes the two surges and the additional deliverables and activities associated with SafeTrack. Stations and passenger facilities, again, progressing on schedule. The replacement and rehabilitation of escalators and elevators is continuing with new projects starting at Friendship Heights and Stadium Armory recently. Bus and paratransit transit program, we have received and all 104 new buses to replace old buses that were planned in FY17. Those buses are all now in service. The rehabilitation program is continuing on schedule, so 75 buses through the third quarter were rehabilitated at midlife. Importantly, both the Cinderbed Road bus garage and the Andrews Federal bus garage projects are proceeding ahead of the schedule that was assumed in the FY17 budget. So both under construction, Cinderbed Road is expected to be substantially complete over the summer, and Andrews is now on schedule to be complete in calendar year 2019. In the business support category, this investments in this category are largely our IT and service vehicles and other support equipment. The timekeeping system that has been in development is now scheduled to be in implementation during sort of mid-FY18. Our vehicle deliveries in support of service functions and MTPD are progressing. So far, about 19 of those scheduled police vehicles are in, and the remainder are expected by the end of the fiscal year. So from a forecast standpoint, each month we have significantly exceeded the original baseline forecast for the $950 million budget. That's continuing. I mentioned before we've refined our year-end projection down from 1.1 to 1.2 to a narrower $50 million range, so 1.125 to 1.175. So This morning we are recommending an amendment to the capital budget, $75 million of additional budget authority for some of the projects I just mentioned earlier, rail car acquisition, rail car maintenance and overhaul, the SafeTrack program, and the two bus garage construction projects. The additional investments will be funded from some real estate proceeds that we are receiving during the fourth quarter that are directed to the capital program. We expect those to total approximately $20 million. The balance of additional investment will be funded with a line of credit in FY17 to the extent that those investments happen, and that line of credit will be repaid in FY18. Our expectation is that we'll return to the committee in the fall with an update on year-end results for FY17 and potentially an update to the FY18 forecast as a result of what happens at the end of 17. And we will reprogram among programs and categories as needed in the last couple of months of the fiscal year to make sure that projects stay on track. So with that, we recommend committee approval of the resolution to add $75 million to the FY17 budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your report. Why don't we have some general questions and answers on the capital budget, and I'll entertain a motion for an increase in the capital budget. Let me just start off by asking a question on your slide number 9, which is captioned 2017-23 summary and year-end forecast. There we go. I'll direct it to Mr. Epster since he gave the presentation. Mr. Epster, this slide shows that the total that you forecast of need to the end of the year is $62.1 million. Can you explain the difference between this $62.1 million and the $75 million additional authorization the general manager is seeking?
Yes. So the $62 million is a function of the year-end forecast at $1.163 billion. This is the aggregated number, our detailed project forecast aggregated it up to 1.163. We're requesting $1.175 billion in order to have some room in case we are our forecast is low on certain projects. There's some art and science to this, so we want to ensure that we have enough capacity to fund each of the projects by the end of the year.
So it doesn't reflect just a potential acceleration in delivery of the 7,000 rail cars?
Not that specifically, no.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Corcoran?
Thank you, Tom, for the report. So with the increase of the 62 or the $75 million into the 17 budget, what impact do you expect that will have on the 18 budget at this point? Are we going to reduce the 18 capital budget, or will we have to increase that even more because of the anticipated delivery of 20 cars per month? Because most of it, 60% of it is in the rail cars, right?
That's right. Our expectation is that, this is really a timing question. Which fiscal year are the expenses going to be incurred? What we will do after the close of the fiscal year is evaluate the projection forward for FY18 and return to the board. I expect because the FY18 budget is considerably larger than our starting point in FY17, that it's unlikely that we would be proposing to go up from that $1.25 billion approved number. But we have to evaluate what happens and return to the committee.
Could you remind me, just for clarification, what number of rail cars per month are we expecting that was built into the 18 capital budget?
We are assuming an average of about 18 per month. So we're assuming some months of 20 and some a few months of 16. To the extent that we receive 20 per month, it's possible that we will be able to reallocate and reprogram within the existing $1.25 billion to cover those additional cars rather than necessarily having to increase the overall budget.
Okay, but if you do average 20, that would be an extra month's worth of cars that
yes.
are being delivered.
Yes.
Right, so we could be doing the same thing next year.
There's potential for that, but I think it's less likely than it was this year.
Okay.
Other questions? Ms. Price.
I believe historically the company has not been able to spend down their capital allocations for each given year. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. But yet we're approving additional dollars. What guarantee will we have that you'll at least be able to spend those dollars down?
Well, I think the performance year to date is a pretty strong indicator that the $300 million will be expended in the fourth quarter. We are now through the month of April, and so we have some data that validates that forecast. Events could occur that slow projects down, but many of these projects have long lead times, and once they're in the construction and acquisition phase, they're easier to forecast. So we probably won't hit exactly this number. We're not that precise, but we expect to be pretty close.
Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Moving back to the rail car delivery per month. So since we've never really built an organization around a delivery at a number of 20 per month in terms of, you know, receiving the cars, testing them, and then deploying them into service, can you just give us a sense of what the impact has been on that end in terms of how have we been able to meet the testing requirements to actually deploy those, given we're getting them at a rate that we have not necessarily predicted up until now?
What we've done is, across the board, it wasn't just a manufacturing issue. I mean, that was part of the issue, was to work with Kawasaki, but also on our end, on the acceptance, getting the test track up, getting the facility up. We had portable jacks we were using, things like that, that weren't working. So it was across the board effort to get this so we could all deliver 20 in service a month. So we continue to work that. We meet monthly with Kawasaki, with both our quality insurance group, with the rail car group, and with Kawasaki, just to keep hitting all the issues that were preventing us from getting those cars in. So we'll continue to that. The reality is they have a little bit of some peaks and valleys in their manufacturing, so that's why we're bringing it down to about 18, because it's just, the reality is, like, maybe in August, you know, it might go down. For instance, Christmas, it goes down. So even though this one we did not, because they had some backlog, but as now they've got rid of the backlog of cars they've had and they're more in a regular production, we'll start to see some of that. So that's why we're recommending the 18. But we do not want to reduce the pressure on them and ourselves to keep that coming out, because it has such a huge impact on our customers. So we don't want to back off of that.
It wasn't a question leading to that. I just wanted to make sure that we were kind of oriented and staffed up and had the capacity to make sure we weren't cutting corners on our end.
No. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's taken that type of effort to make sure we weren't doing that. And that's what we've been doing for the last year.
Can I throw another question in there, Mr. Goldman?
You may ask another question, yes.
Throw, ask, ponder, pose, posit. On the bus acquisition side, Mr. Webster, I think you said that we've come in exactly at what we budgeted for the year, and even though it's a small number, we're over budget on those costs. What's been the driver of that?
In this instance, we are slightly over budget because of, I believe this is associated with spare parts for buses, and we will handle that if this does occur. It's, again, a timing issue. When we anticipated to receive the spare parts, was it in June or July? I believe that's the issue here, but we'll handle it through forecast adjustments and budget adjustments.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Augustine?
Thank you, Mr. Goldman, and thank you so much for this report. This is a good news report, and I want to definitely commend the general manager and the staff on really turning this around. I've been very critical of our ability to meet the capital spend in the past, and you have obviously exceeded expectations, and that is to be commended. And it also will, without a doubt, and I completely agree with you on that, we have to keep our eyes on this, because this will pay the greatest dividends, particularly on the rail cars, to our system and to our customers, since we know, and we saw this in our previous reporting, that the majority of our delays and our problems are associated with the rail cars. So this is fantastic news, and I appreciate the fact that you guys have really turned this one around. I do want to know what the status of the 4,000 and the 1,000, how many do we have left in the fleet, and what is the projected timeline towards them getting them out of our fleet?
So I just turned this to a slide that's in the appendix. So as of as of the end of the third quarter, we had 82 of the 1,000 series still available for service, 56 of the 4,000 series, with a delivery rate of 20 per month, and then the rate we're assuming in FY18, all of those cars will be out of service by the end of the second quarter of FY18.
Just to be clear on this chart, so this is projecting that the second quarter of FY19 will be zero, and then, but you're showing that the 748 deliveries will continue, looks like, into the fourth quarter of FY19 or into 2020?
That's correct.
Thank you. Other questions? Got to go to Virginians. Mr. Smedberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom, just two quick questions. Do you anticipate any change in the long-term debt issuance? Or Dennis?
No.
Okay. And then what is the estimated cost for a safe track?
With the addition of the surges in May and June and factoring in the surges that occurred in FY16, we're looking at a range of about $150 million to $160 million in total cost, capital cost.
Thank you.
Projected through the end of FY17.
Correct.
Through June 30th. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that responsive? Yes. Mr. Mulder?
With the good news on the 7,000 series cars, don't take this the wrong way, but can we, Mr. Paul, can we get in our next available meeting what the power requirements are going to look like for running 8-car 7,000 series into the future? I'm concerned about whether we've got enough subcomponent power availability. And I know that Virginia's paying for a new substation from previous budgets, but I'm worried about the power.
Okay, we'll pull that together.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're proposing to, I'm sorry, Mr. Fumjab. Okay, I'll go. You're proposing to cover this increased $75 million authorization through land sales of approximately $20 million and the remainder through drawing down on the line of credit. That requires me to ask just a few questions to make sure that the board and the committee understands what that will entail. We've authorized a total line of credit authorization of $350 million. So could you explain in two questions? First, how much of that $350 million is still available? And second, besides the $55 million roughly that you will draw down to fund this increase in the capital budget, what are the other obligations or commitments that you anticipate for use of the line of credit over the next 6 months?
With respect to the first question, as of now, approximately $350 million of the line is available.
The total amount is available.
That's correct. Right. But as you know, the process is that we use that to address liquidity needs across the months. So we may pull down tomorrow, just as an example, $100 million, obviously, and pay that back at the first of the years. First of the month as revenues come in. So, but as of today, we have total availability with respect to the lines. In terms of what are the potential commitments we anticipate over the next 6 months, the primary commitment will be to this, assuming the board approves, to support the capital program. Other than that, there's no anticipated need that we see beyond the cash flow projections that I shared with the committee some time ago.
So you would anticipate roughly $250 or $300 million being available in the line of credit 6 months from now?
That's correct.
Thank you. Any other, Mr. Dormjoe?
Thank you. So in the past, I've commented on the need for improvements with regard to the transparent presentation of information, and I wanted to note that, you know, graphs like this are very helpful for the public and for those who are advocating for additional revenue for WMATA to make the business case that we've got a team in here that can deliver. So I just wanted to note that. There's also other examples in prior committee meetings, the fact that you guys are using more benchmarking against other properties and how we convey information around safety and employee injuries and things like that. That's a good sign. And the KPI that I think was discussed earlier this morning around track availability and speed restrictions, all these are a sign that you guys are putting out better, more useful information. So with that in mind, with the capital program, and not for all categories, but for the major categories, is it possible that in the future, and I know that this is this may sound simple, but there's a lot behind the scenes, and Tom's probably getting a little bit worried about where this question is going. I would think that we could begin to see, it's kind of an extension of Corbett's question, we could begin to see how we're doing in terms of the contracting execution against our own estimates, and how we're doing with the management of extra work orders, like on a, you know, on a programmatic basis. I don't think we need to get into the specifics, but I know that when Paul was at BWI Airport, we always had a handle on not just our expenditure rate, but what we were doing against our engineer's estimate, and then what was coming in the form of extra work orders. If our spending is all extra work orders, and our extra work orders are 50% of our project value, that's a bad sign. Okay, so spending money, you know, isn't just, you know, in and of itself good, right? It's got to be relative to our estimate, relative to our change order management and project management. So I think if we could move to those types of indicators, this is a great indicator for bus or rail acquisition. But if we could get more information around that in the future, it helps us make the business case that when provided adequate resources, you guys can deliver. Is that something that we could anticipate in the future?
Sure, we can work on that. And I am familiar, obviously, with doing that in previous positions. You know, the big thing that we've done over the last year is, you know, we were hundreds of millions of dollars off, you know, what we were asking for and what we're delivering. So most of this has been just pure project management focusing on that. But you're right, the next level down is right now within that, how are we spending? So that's the logical place to go next.
Okay. And then just one other question. With regard to, I know you explained you've delivered all the vehicles that were programmed. It's my understanding there's another bus acquisition in the works.
The final year of the current bus procurement bus acquisition contract is FY18,
mm-hmm.
So there will be a new bus procurement kicking off shortly after that.
Right. Okay. And are we gonna get some information around how the maintenance facilities, the composition of the fleet relative to traditional vehicles versus articulated buses and the different propulsion mixes, are we going to get some information before the next batch of vehicles are procured? I think I asked Mr. Leader this question some time ago, and I don't think we were told we were going to get more information, and I haven't seen that yet. So I just, because as we make the case for additional revenue, I think the bus story is a really important story, and the region's going to want to know where those new dollars are going to go. Some people may have their hopes, you know, pinned to, an electric fleet or something like that. If that's not the direction you're going, I think we should have that conversation. Where people may think that all the maintenance facilities are going to get replaced. I'm sure that's not the case. But maybe you could say kind of the scale of what that would look like if Paul's plan were funded. And maybe And so it's a complicated question, but I think more information around bus, we tend to focus a lot on rail, but we can be good advocates if you guys let us know where those dollars are going. And I just don't know. I don't know if you guys have a different thesis around where a bus needs to be in the next 5 to 10 years.
We will pull that together. As you know, we do have a number of new players, and they're taking a look at a lot of things that we do. So we have, you know, different maintenance crew over there. We have obviously some new people over there. So I've asked them to take a hard look at a lot of our major capital investments and what is the strategy more than just next year's, but really what are we thinking into the future on this. So we are pulling that together. And I agree. I think it's part of a much larger discussion and not just a pure budget discussion. So we'll bring that together.
Is the matter of a bus acquisition program, is that a matter that comes before the board? I recall that we've approved rail car purchases in RFPs in the past. Do we also approve bus acquisition programs and RFPs?
Dennis told me historically we have, apparently not, but I think, I think to get to Leif's point, sort of the larger picture of what we're doing at that level, I think is definitely relevant.
I think that is a matter that at least the committee and the board generally should be aware of and should approve of. Buses are a good story so far. All right, any other questions? No? Okay.
All right. We've seen bus plans, the planning process of it, and the procurement piece follows on that, right?
Right, but I don't recall. I know we saw a big presentation when we did the rail car purchases, 7,000 and the second 7,000 purchase. I don't recall seeing a bus proposal to come before the board. All right. Then I will entertain a resolution that would amend the FY17 capital improvement program to do the following. Increase and provide an additional $75 million to the FY17 budget authority to support rail car acquisition, estimated at $40 million, rail car maintenance overhaul, estimated at $7 million, Safe Tracks at $20 million, and Cinderbed and Andrews bus facilities at $8 million. In addition, these additional capital investments will be funded from real estate sales, estimated at $20 million, and the remainder through use of the authority's short-term line of credit facility to be repaid in FY18. Thank you. A second for that resolution? Mr. Corcoran? Can we get a second first? Second for Mr. Harley.
Sorry, Mr. but are you making a resolution that they can only spend up to those limits you just identified with each one, or are we doing
in the draft resolution.
Is it $75 million, or is it each individual line they can only go up to that amount?
Up to $75 million composed of those individual lines.
And Mr. Goldman, if I could, I was thinking the same thing. You had said rail car acquisition at $40 million. Actually, on the slide here, it says $41 million, and you said $7 million for the maintenance and overhaul, where it says $6 million on the slide here.
I'm just reading from the...
I think there was a change from an earlier draft.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion that we approve a motion to approve up to $75 million in additional capital expenditures and leave the individual lines off? Just in case there is, I think what...
Second.
Okay.
That's a change from what was drafted, but I'm sure the general counsel can make that change for presentation to the board in 2 weeks. Very good.
Is that going to work for the staff versus what was in the draft resolution, which is pretty clear as far as the request?
That's
already in the draft?
That will be our preferred solution, the motion by Mr. Cochran.
I didn't hear your comment.
Staff concurs with your motion.
Yeah. Okay.
So it will just be an up to $75 million authorization, right, without specification as to what are the particular programs that it will be used for.
Right.
I think as a parliamentary matter, the previous motion has to be dispensed with.
Well, this would be a substitute for the previous motion. So we...
Yeah. You had a previous motion on the table. Something needs to happen.
Okay. Parliamentarian, how do you want us to act on this?
Isn't that a friendly amendment to the resolution?
I'm just asking the parliamentarian and the general counsel how.
Just withdraw. Yeah.
Okay. Well, who made? I didn't.
You can withdraw a motion.
So, yes. I'm sorry, the motion on the table is to increase the FY17 capital budget authorization by up to $75 million, period, to be funded through, what was said before, use of land sales. And
yeah, just taking the individual lines out of there, that the individual budget lines, because technically they would have to get approval to go over any one of those. So everything else stays the same.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
So the resolution,
the council will change the resolution so that those individual lines are removed, and we really just have the a line for a $75 million increase in capital budget. All right. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor of adopting this amendment at the Finance Committee and recommending it to the full board for adoption, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. I believe we have completed the business of the Finance Committee for today. Thank you very much. Mr. Evans, I believe you have some motion to make. Please.
Thank you, Michael. And we will now have a request for the executive session. So in accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection C, matters involving litigation, budget, and legislative matters. So I'd like to move this at this time. Do I have a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll go upstairs for the executive session. Thank you.